This We Love Telly podcast is a Mirror Digital production.
Hello and welcome to this week's We Love Telly podcast. Rob is still gallivanting in New York, so you're still stuck with me, Rachel Wheeler. This week we're joined by king of all things soap, Tony Stewart, and Sarah Wallace, who's fresh from a day out at Downton Abbey. We've also got showbiz reporter Simon Boyle, who's been watching the UK X Factor auditions with his own eyes, plus he has a scoop on all things Cheryl Cole. So we've been joined by showbiz reporter on the Daily Mirror, Simon Boyle, no relation to Susan. How are you?
That's hysterical when people make that joke. I'm very well, thank you. Very well.
So, big week for the X Factor. You've been down and watched it yourself, is that right?
It has been, yeah, absolutely. New lineup, all new except for Louis, but real new feel this year. And I think everybody's been looking with sort of bated breath. How's it going to work? Who's going to be Simon Cowell's replacement? And who's going to be the Mr. Nasty? You know,
who's it going to be? Well, who do you think it has been so far? I've heard some words about Gary being a little bit nasty.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Gary's obviously really well respected, but he's such a likable guy. It's really hard to take anything nasty that he says to heart. I wonder whether Chulisa could be the really sort of feisty character. She started off day one a bit nervous, but by day two she was quickly kind of singing along with the acts that she really likes and quite quickly telling people they were, well, not much cop.
Interesting. So how has she been getting on with the judges? Because she's obviously got quite a different background from everyone else.
That's right, but she's got a great sense of humour. She's really good fun. And she's really smart as well. So she's been having a lot of banter with Gary, shares Louis' sense of humour. The two of them are real kind of quite quick to rub off on one another. And is that in a weird way?
Carry on, please.
They're really bouncing off each other. They've got the same kind of cheeky sense of humour. And so far, if anybody for me, it's Kelly who lacks a little bit of personality. But I'm sure it'll come out. It's just, you know, she's quite serious, quite straight-laced, and maybe just needs to, you know, loosen up a bit.
Yeah, it's because no one really knows anything about Kelly Rowland, so no one really knows what to expect.
Well, without wanting to sound too unpleasant, I think she's always going to be the other one from Destiny's Child to British Beauty initially. So she's got to become, a star in her own right. And The X Factor is the perfect place to do that. It's whether or not she can do it within the few weeks it's going to take before viewers start saying, I don't like her or I really like her. Certainly Simon Cowell really likes her and always has. It's being well said that he's touted her for a few years. You know, she's been rumoured and linked with The X Factor. Even while Danny and Cheryl were still there, there were rumours that she could, you know, find a role. So he obviously thinks good things of her, and he's had plenty of success in the past, so he obviously knows what he's doing.
It's interesting, yeah. It's interesting that he's pinpointed such a random singer for The X Factor this year, but I'm sure that she'll come into her own.
Well, people could say the same about the US X Factor. We picked a random singer from the UK and look where that got him.
Yeah, that's very true. So talk to me a little bit about Cheryl Cole. It was confirmed that she's 100% not doing The X Factor yesterday in the US. So what's been going on?
It is the most baffling situation, I think, in TV that I can remember. I think the honest truth is that Simon Cowell really did want Cheryl. Certainly they went to the first set of auditions, which over in Chicago, and they were, you know, really pleased with their lineup. Obviously everybody knows now that almost overnight Cheryl was no more, and Nicole Scherzinger was moved in, or so we thought. And in the 2 weeks between the sets of auditions, it's been will she, won't she. And as of yesterday, well, now she definitely won't.
It's weird. Do you think there's anything going on, or do you think she really was just a bit homesick and wanted to go back?
Listen, I think from the very beginning, Simon Cowell wanted her as a friend of Cheryl's, knows exactly what she's like and exactly what to expect. But I think there was always a little bit of uncertainty with the guys at Fox. There's a guy there called Mike Darnell, who's their chief entertainment controller,
right,
or quite what his title is. But, you know, and I think he was always there to be convinced, and clearly he hasn't been.
Interesting. And Louis's been, you know, sticking his oar in, as always, saying that Cheryl and Simon are never going to be friends again.
Well, Louis's great. I mean, he's sort of suggested that certainly at the moment they really are at loggerheads. But Simon spoke to us yesterday, and he very much hopes that they can you know, stay friends and we'll work together again. And his words were that, you know, he will definitely work with her again and that she's a real star. So watch this space, I think, with that one. But for now, certainly, she's keeping her head down and not saying anything, you know, in her own defence or otherwise. And that almost says more than anything she actually could say. Does that suggest to me that, you know, she's pretty angry?
Yeah, it's always kind of been her style to keep shut and then she'll do it in a big sensational way. In about 3 years' time, we'll all finally find out what happened. But where actually is she now? Because I have no idea.
Well, we've had a few kind of people saying to us, well, she was booked on, so she's certainly been booked on and off flights, but she hasn't been seen now for 3 weeks. It's becoming the great disappearing act. You know, it's amazing that a woman as famous as she is can be sort of presumably going about her and just disappear. I have a suspicion that she's probably spent a lot of time with her mum, with some family, maybe gone away for a few days. But she was booked onto a flight to New York this week. Whether that was before she knew that she wasn't going to be at the New York auditions of the US X Factor, we don't know yet. But we've been speaking to air management, and they've made it quite clear that as and when they are ready to launch something new and do something, then she'll be back sooner rather than later.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming by into our little broom cupboard.
Thank you.
Now, Sarah, you want to be in my team when it comes to the TV section of the pub quiz. Wallace is here.
Thanks, hello.
Hello. So, quick word on the Britain's Got Talent final. Very dramatic.
I was quite disappointed.
Really?
I was on Amanda Holden's side. I wanted Ronan to win. Aww. So I was a little bit gutted. I thought Jai was a bit boring.
Bit boring?
Yeah, sorry.
But it was his final chance, whereas Ronan's going to be fine.
I know, and actually I think we'll see more of Ronan, is my prediction. I think Jai, there might be, you know, he'll perform at the Royal Variety, maybe there'll be an album, but I think Ronan is set for the big time.
Okay.
Like him.
Well, that's interesting. He's a very cute little man.
Yes, exactly.
And it was also Doctor Who sort of drew to a close as well.
Doctor Who was very dramatic. For Doctor Who fans, we've been waiting for ages to find out who Riversong really is. Riversong is played by Alex Kingston. And we found out that she's Amy and Rory's daughter.
Dun, whoa. Dun, dun.
Yes, big news. Very exciting.
Big news.
And now they've gone and left us on a cliffhanger and we have to wait until the autumn to find out what happens next.
Right.
It's very exciting.
That is exciting. What's more exciting is that you spent the day at Downton Abbey yesterday and I'm very, very jealous. I love Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I have my bonnet and my frock and...
No, did you actually?
Oh,
amazing.
It's the most amazing. It's Highclere Castle over in Newbury and it's beautiful and all the cast were walking around in full costume and we had a tour of the set and had a chat with, you know, Hugh Bonneville and Michelle Dockery and the lovely Dan Stevens. So yeah, very excited for the next series.
Amazing. I'm loving Lady Mary. Do we know anything about what's going to happen to her?
Well, yeah, I don't know how much I can say, but she has a love interest, but it's not Matthew. So he and she, there's still a bit of a spark between them,
okay.
But they both find themselves with different love interests.
Oh,
and we have
no.
to watch what happens. But I can't say too much.
Okay.
I'll get in trouble.
Because it was left, the war just broken out, is that right?
Yeah, when we come to it, it's the war's just broken out and it's all become very serious and everyone has to go off to war and or help out in some way. So you'll see a very different Downton Abbey than the first series.
Very interesting. When is that coming out?
That's going to be in September and that's the second
ages.
series, and then there'll be a Christmas special.
Ooh.
They're all hoping that it'll be picked up for a third series. I'm sure it will be.
Oh, amazing. September's ages away.
I'm Never sorry.
Mind.
But
Never mind.
No, it was fun to see, you know, Hugh Bonneville sat in full costume, you know, eating his prawn sandwiches and a cup of tea out in his trailer. But yeah, it was fun. So,
what's it like in the big house? Have they got? Is it all just like a big film set, or have they managed to preserve some of it? I don't know if that's interesting for anyone else, but I'm fascinated.
You are. It's owned, I think, by Lord and Lady Carnarvon. Apologies,
right.
History fans, if I've got that wrong, but they sort of let the TV take over, and they've taken over a few rooms and kitted them out with film sets, and we were told don't touch anything, don't move any ornaments.
Right.
So I'm quite clumsy. I kept my hands firmly by my sides.
Did you not take a little memento?
I wanted to carve my name into a chair or something just to see if I could spot it on the telly, but
oh,
I didn't
be
because that would be bad. So I certainly wouldn't be telling you live on air.
Well, if you did get a little trinket, then I'd be interested to see.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you've also been chatting to Matthew Morrison, is that right, early today?
Yeah, he's. I managed to formulate words, which was good, in the presence of the beautiful Matthew Morrison.
Are you a big fan of Mr. Schuster?
I'm a Gleek, yeah. I'm a massive fan. Try to remain professional, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's here, he's been doing the rounds. Anyone watching TV this week would have probably caught him on something, because he's got his album coming out. And he's also doing a big show at Hammersmith on Monday.
Okay.
So he's over trying to promote Matthew Morrison and not Mr. Schuster.
Aww.
But I think he's finding it difficult to get away from Glee.
Mr. Shu is amazing.
I wanted to touch his hair.
Did you not?
No, I did want to, but I felt it might be crossing a boundary.
I imagine it smells like pineapple and coconut.
He puts body lotion in it, apparently, to
is
keep
that
it
right?
looking.
Yeah. Nice.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. You could have rubbed it against your shins if you were feeling a bit parched on the old skin.
Exactly.
Fantastic. So finally, give us a snippet about tomorrow's apprentice.
Yeah, they go off to collect a load of rubbish, literally, and they have to sell it on and make a profit. So they're all in their neon jackets and they're divvied up into two teams. And then they argue a lot for 45 minutes and, not wanting to put too fine a point on it, it is a load of rubbish. They have no idea what they're doing. Watch out for Susie. Particular new heights of stupidity, I would say, this week.
Yeah, she's turning out to be a bit dumb, isn't she? But I feel bad because she's quite nice.
Nice isn't good enough for Lord Allen. You should know that by now.
No. Well, nothing's good enough for Lord Allen. But it was a good finale last week with the double firing. Was that always planned, do you think? Or had he just had enough?
I think so. I think there's usually one, isn't there, every series of double firing. So I don't know. I don't think that will happen yet, possibly nearer the end. But yeah, it's getting good. There's a lot of bitch fighting among the girls this week to look out for.
Oh, it's always a bit of a shame when the women descend into bitch fighting.
It's a bit embarrassing.
It? Yeah.
Karen Brady does the sort of arch eyebrow quite well.
Oh, she loves that. She loves the camera, doesn't she? She absolutely does. Fair enough, she practices that look. Well, thank you very much for coming by.
No problem.
It's time for this week's competition. This is my favourite bit. I don't know about you guys. What we're going to do is play a very famous theme tune backwards. And you guys, send us a tweet at We Love Telly and let us know who you think it is or what you think it is. Let's welcome Tony Stewart into the studio. Hello.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Good, thank you. So let's crack straight on with a word about David Essex, who's an old friend of yours. Is that right?
You wouldn't exactly say an old friend, because I wrote for NME at the time. He was a rather huge pop star during the 70s, and NME didn't make friends very easily, least of all pop stars such as David Essex. But yeah, it's true, he's gone into EastEnders this week, which is kind of quite incredible. He was an actor, or allegedly an actor. He appeared in a couple of films during the 70s, such as That'll Be the Day, which I think also featured one Ringo Starr.
Right.
And another film called Stardust. So
okay.
He's got a bit of an acting pedigree, as well as being the man who recorded Rock On, Gonna Make You a Star, and hits like that sent lots of teenage girls crazy, and the way they do now for Gary Barlow and Take That, in fact. So that's the kind
of
stature he was at the time. But now he's a grey-haired gentleman, and it's quite funny because I think he does have Romany roots. And when you see him on screen, he's wearing a three-piece black suit, a white button-down collar shirt with embroidery on it, and it looks like he's just staggered out of the reception of one of these big fat gypsy weddings. But he's quite a good character. You know, he comes in as Eddie Moon, Michael's son.
Okay.
And not exactly Alfie's uncle, but it's so complicated how they're related that it's much easier to say he's Alfie's uncle.
I see. So you say he turned down a role on EastEnders before, is that right?
Yeah, he did. He was offered the role of Honey's dad a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy who... Nigel Henson, I think, was the guy who got that part, okay. Who was once in Fawlty Towers, quite memorably. He cracked a joke, pretentious, moi, ha 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 ha. And he was a bit of a lad in that, and he... As playing Honey's dad, he had a bit of a relationship with Barbara Windsor's character, Peggy.
That's right, yeah, I remember.
But it kind of clashed with David Essex's tour at the time, and he still makes music. He goes out on an annual tour. He releases his own albums now, and so I think this fits in better. Plus, Honey's dad, of course, is no longer in the show, so perhaps he's hoping for a bit of longevity as Eddie Moon. But he comes over... as he is, or as I remember him, as a really kind of decent bloke, although he has a secret, which will be shortly revealed.
Ooh, we like secrets. And he's not the first pop star to cross over into being a soap star now, is he?
He's not, no. And normally they go the other way. Mm-hmm. Soap stars, they get a bit of recognition, like that dreadful Adam Ricketts in Coronation Street.
Naked Individual, remember that?
But there are kind of other ones, like Kylie Minogue, who mm-hmm. did become big stars from soaps. But it's very unusual for a pop star to become a soap star. But we've kind of had a look, and there are a few, like, for example, Hearsay. We've got Suzanne Shaw and Kim Marsh, who, when we look at the pictures now of them in Hearsay, they're a little bit heavier than they are now. That's the polite way of putting it.
Heavier in terms of their singing being so deep, I'm sure you mean.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, no, there's kind of, when Kim Marsh was in Pop Idol, there was that famous thing when Nigel Lithgow said something about her weight problems and why she'd never be a pop star. Of course, he was proved quite wrong.
Very wrong.
And Kim Marsh is now in Corrie, and Suzanne Shaw's now in Emmerdale.
Yeah.
And then we also have Martin Kemp, of course, was in Spandau Ballet, and he was in EastEnders.
Of course.
EastEnders have had quite a few. Sam Womack, who was a dreadful 1991 Eurovision entry.
Is that right?
Yeah, and as Samantha Janus. And, of course, one of the best is Keith Duffy, who's still in Boyzone and makes quite frequent appearances in Coronation Street and has done since 2002. And we've done a little piece in the mag itself, and just so that we could have a picture of me with Status Quo, because I get crashed to Les and Cilla's wedding. And Status Quo played at the wedding. They were in a few episodes in 2005. And again, when I was a rock writer, I covered Quo quite often. So it's all quite good fun.
An old rock star, aren't you?
Not really. A wannabe rock star.
It's not too late. So also in EastEnders, how are Tanya and Greg getting on?
Well, Tanya and Greg, you know, they're kind of still probably in the honeymoon period, having recently, well, quite relatively recently been on holiday on their honeymoon in, I think it was the Maldives. But Max won't give up. Max still has a passion for Tanya. And this week, it's quite funny, actually. He gets Greg round to give him quotes. Greg, of course, is a builder, as most people know. Gets him round to give a quote on a loft conversion. And then when he decides he's not going to have a loft conversion, he gets him round to give him tips on interior design. He's winding him up, and it's quite comical. I think Jake Wood, who plays Max, is one of the most underrated actors in the soaps. And he plays this... Normally he plays very serious roles, but he does this for laughs, and it's quite comical. And obviously, you don't really need to be a clairvoyant to see where this one's heading.
Sounds like Tanya might become the mistress in future.
Well, that might be a very good guess, Rachel.
Wow, that's big news. So let's just move straight on to Emmerdale this week. It's a bit of a controversial story.
Well, yeah, Emmerdale tonight is the Right to Die episode, as they've called it. It's when Jackson, who's obviously paralysed from the neck down because of the train crash, you know, about 7 months ago now, I think it was, just can't deal with life. been so, you know, horrendously disabled, and he enlists his mum Hazel and his boyfriend Aaron to bring his life to an end. And there hasn't, I haven't seen any of the episodes. I'd only see them when they're aired, because they don't want any advanced publicity. They don't want people really discussing it without having seen the episodes, or without the, without really the viewers having the chance to see the episodes, because The Right to Die is a very controversial image. I mean, euthanasia has been played out in the soaps before. EastEnders have done it.
Yeah.
With Dot and Ethel, mm-hmm. and that was quite controversial. Brookside did it as well with, I think the character's name was Mick Johnson. He helped his mother-in-law die. And so they are very emotive subjects. And on the one side, it's people saying, well, yes, he is incredibly disabled, but there are people in that situation who find life worth living. Jackson isn't one of them. But he kind of really persuades his nearest and dearest, because he can't lift anything up or, you know, do anything himself, to kill him, basically. And the question is it murder? Is it right that it's being done? And it's going to lead to a whole load of controversy, I'm sure, in the papers. I'm looking forward to the episode, because I think Emmerdale do things incredibly sensitively. And this is really yet another highlight in the journey that Aaron has been on. Even though it's Jackson who dies, it's Aaron, part of Aaron's coming out process that started, in fact, 2 years ago, when, you know, he was kind of going out with girls, but he secretly knew he was gay. So this is a role that's won Danny Miller, Best Actor at this year's Soap Awards. Yeah. So I expect more. I think it'll be a really emotional episode. And I think people have to decide, you know, where they stand on the issue themselves.
It'll be interesting to see. So a quick word on Corrie. There's a little bit more sexual scandal, is that right?
Well, there is, yeah, because Graham, Daft Graham, as we know him, actually confesses to his girlfriend that he slept with his wife.
Right, which is just sounds all wrong.
Well, it's all wrong in that she's only his wife because they're getting Sheen, the Chinese girl, a visa to stay in the country. So Tina's not entirely happy with this situation. Yeah. So she takes his clothes and her clothes and slings them out of the window.
Oh, right.
But so it's back to fiery old Tina Mack that we all know and love, because Michelle Keegan, again, is one of the best characters in Corrie. So it's going to be, it's really entertaining stuff.
And I hope it wasn't anything expensive she threw out of the window.
No, I think they get most of their stuff from markets or Primark.
Fair enough. Probably just go back out on the stall. Fantastic. And is there anything else in Corrie you want to talk about this week?
Well, Corrie, there's kind of a bit of an irony in that Fizz, who's John Stape's wife, and we remember that he fell backwards off a 30-foot high building and survived, and was last sighted taking a ferry from Holyhead over to Dunleary. So he's somewhere on the loose in Ireland, and of course the police can't track him down. And poor old Fizz is arrested this week for fraud.
For fraud.
And you just think, oh, you know, all she's done is really stand by a nutcase throughout this whole business. So that, I think things are going to get even tougher with her, for her, because they're going to investigate the murders. And, of course, she has assisted with disposing of a body.
Thanks for that, Tony. Well, that's all we've got time for this week's We Love Telly podcast. Same time next week, where you'll be joined with the excessively hairy Rob Lee.